We turn in our Bibles to Revelation and chapter 2. The last book in the Bible. You will find this reading either on page 1234 or 1235, depending on which edition you have. The context of what we read is that a man by the name of John is on an island, the Isle of Patmos, and on one particular day he has the most extraordinary vision. And that vision initially is of the resurrected and glorified Lord Jesus. And Jesus speaks to John and says, write down what you see. And then Jesus proceeds to give John, dictate to John, seven letters that are to be sent to seven small churches in what was Asia Minor. Today we would know as Turkey. And these are letters of encouragement, letters of challenge, letters to draw these believers on in their journey in following Christ. And these letters all appear in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And if you read on, of course, Revelation chapter 4 onwards, you get more details of this extraordinary, bizarre, confusing vision that John has. But today, I'm reading from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18, and this is the longest of these short letters to these churches, and it's to the church in a place called Thyatira. So reading from verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations, that one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. And we pray as we reflect that these words we have read may become for us the living word of God. Now, the letter to the church in Thyatira, under this broad heading of overcoming in a time of challenge, a reminder to these churches, look, life is tough right now. Life is tough. It's tough to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. There are all sorts of challenges upon you about you remaining faithful to the Lord Jesus. And that is true, I guess, for us in our day. If we take a moment to think about what it means to follow Jesus and we think about the challenges surrounding us, it is difficult. But these letters are written that these believers may not simply survive as a minimum in this time of challenge, but they may overcome, or as the word has it in this passage in verse 26, to the one who is victorious, to the one who flourishes, the one who does what Jesus calls them to do. Jesus wants us not just to survive, but to overcome, be victorious, and to flourish. The church in Thyatira, it's all about beliefs and actions. Beliefs and actions. We begin with what we believe, what we think, what we hold on to, what is precious to us. And what we believe, what we hold on to, what we believe to be precious, guides our actions. We could flip this around and say, well, we do certain things, we act in particular ways because of our beliefs. Not simply we believe, therefore we do certain things, but we act in particular ways because of our beliefs. We could say to somebody, well, I believe this particular thing about God. I believe this particular thing about the world. I believe this particular thing about myself or about yourself or about our relationships. And therefore, I act in a particular way. And again, we could flip this around and equally say, well, I act like this because I believe. How many of us have been in a particular situation where somebody has said to us, why do you do that? And I think the bracket is, you weirdo. Why do you act like that? Because I believe certain things. Now, this is true whether we believe in God or not. This principle of belief and action holds true whoever we are, whatever you believe in. Beliefs and actions are fundamental to all of us, everybody. The evidence of what we believe. Oh, did I just turn that off? How did I turn that off? Yeah, click the wrong button. The evidence of what you believe is found in your actions and your lifestyle. And so we can say to people, well, I believe in God. I believe this. I believe that. And I remember the story of the preacher who was declaring boldly, well, I believe this, I believe that, I believe the other. And somebody who was listening stopped him and said, hang on, you're standing there telling me everything you believe. Well, give me time, show me your lifestyle, and I will tell you what you believe. Show me your lifestyle, and I'll tell you what you really believe. Now, do we get that? The evidence of what we really believe, whether we say this is what we believe or not, the evidence for what we believe is found in our actions and our lifestyle. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus says to his disciples, love one another. That is the action. That is the action. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. People will see your lifestyle by your love for one another. People will see what you do. And from that, they will be able to work out, you're a disciple of Jesus. Actions arising from beliefs. And the importance of what we do is so important. The importance is so important. James writes, faith by itself, beliefs by themselves, if they're not accompanied by action, it's just dead. So we can say we believe all sorts of things about ourselves or about the world, but if it's not accompanied by action, it is dead. And James actually goes on to say, well, look, you can talk all you like about faith. I will show you my faith, he says, by what I do. And there are all sorts of statements and sayings that summarize this, but perhaps one we know better than most. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. So we can say, well, we believe that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We believe that God created all things and declared that all things are good. More than that, God created all things and declared they are very good. And if that is our belief, the action that should follow is in our world, understanding that God has created all things and declared them very good, we should care for our creation. We should care for all the things that God has declared good, because that belief translating into an action. We believe. We say we believe that all humanity is created in the image of God, that somehow all human beings have within them, mysteriously but wonderfully and gloriously, all human beings have within them the image of God, whoever they are. Now, if we say that as a statement of belief, this is what we believe, that humans are created in the image of God, how does that translate into action in our lives? It means, in terms of action, that we should never regard anyone as less than anybody else. But instead, just as God honors every individual because they are created in his image, so whatever the color of our skin, whatever our background, whatever our status, whatever our belief, whatever our sexuality, whatever, we honor and respect and bless because that's what our belief says. It is our belief translating into action. Now, I recognize, as we all will, that we will state certain things as beliefs, and then rather than a straight line between the belief and the action, it kind of takes a bit of a wobble and doesn't always work out in the way that we might expect. We say we believe in the sanctity of life, that life is a gift from God, that it is holy. But if we say we believe in the sanctity of life, then how does that work out in action? It must mean that we say the lives of those who are starving in Gaza matter. It must mean that the lives of those who are dying in wars matter. That we should put an end to conflict. Why? Because we believe in the sanctity of life. Belief must run a path towards action that ties in with it. Faith by itself, statement of belief by itself, if it is not followed up, if it is not accompanied by action, it's dead. And the challenge and the encouragement facing the church in Thyatira is precisely this tie-up between belief and action, between belief and their deeds. So Jesus can say to the church in Thyatira in Revelation 2, verse 19, I know your deeds. I know your deeds. I know your action. I can see what you do. And then he lists what the deeds are. In verse 19, he says, I know your deeds. What are their deeds? Well, their deeds are love and faith and service and perseverance. That's a pretty good list. If our life is shown by love and faith and service and perseverance. And he then goes on, you are now doing more than you did at first. I know your deeds. And then later on, in verse 23, he says, I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Jesus says, I won't repay you according to what you believe. I won't commend you for what you believe. I will commend you for what you do. And that, I'm just taking more time over that because that may be a challenge to us. I will repay each of you according to your deeds, to what you do. Because by our deeds, we reveal what we believe. By our deeds, we reveal what is important to us. We reveal our priorities. And then in verse 23 again, to those who overcome. In verse 26, to the one who is victorious and does my will, to those who overcome and do my will. In all the other letters that are written to the churches, it simply states at the end, they all have this statement, to the one who is victorious or to the one who overcomes, I'll do this. But to the church in Thyatira, it's an emphasis on deeds, on actions. To the one who is victorious, to the one who overcomes and does my will. It's all about their actions. It's all about their deeds. And that is at the heart of what is said here. And it boils down to humble deeds result in significant authority. In verse 26 again, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, to the one who overcomes and acts in a way that honours Christ, I will give authority over the nations. And that is an extraordinary result. To the one who does my will, I will give authority over all the nations. Can you imagine having authority over the nations? And that is the challenge to us as we read this letter, as we reflect upon it and say, what does it mean for us? It is about beliefs and actions. Now, at the heart of this letter, in the central part of this letter, there is this tirade, did you notice, about that woman. It's never good if somebody is referred to as that woman. But that's what it says. Nevertheless, I have this against you in verse 20, you tolerate that woman. And her name is given as Jezebel. It may or may not be her name, but Jezebel was a significant character in the Old Testament who led the people of God astray. And here she's given this name, Jezebel, because she misleads the people of God. What little we know about the ancient town of Thyatira is that it was a significant place of trade. And there were all sorts of what I might call societies. If you wanted to be a builder in Thyatira, you had to belong to the society of builders. If you wanted to have a market stall selling fruit, you had to belong to the society of fruit sellers. If you wanted to deal in gold in Thyatira, you had to belong to the society of gold sellers. And that's how it worked with every different trade in Thyatira. Now we know this because of excavations in Thyatira and all sorts of inscriptions that have been found. And there are more inscriptions relating to these different societies or guilds in Thyatira than any other city in the ancient Near East. Now, what's the issue with that? Well, the issue is that every society, every guild would include offerings to gods as part of their membership package. And if you wanted to trade, you had to offer to the gods. So what do you do? What do you do? Do you offer to the gods and shrug your shoulders? It doesn't matter. Do you say, well, I need to feed my family, therefore I need to make money, therefore I must trade, therefore in order to trade I must belong to this society, and well, they do this, so I'll tick the box and hope for the best. And what is going on is that woman, Jezebel, seems to be saying to the believers, it's okay, just do it. Eat the food sacrificed to idols. It doesn't matter. Just tick the box and get on with business. But Jesus says, it matters. It matters. What you do matters. Not simply what you say, not simply what you believe, but what you do. It's the translation of what we believe with integrity into action. The encouragement is, it's a challenging time. It's a challenging time to follow Jesus. But Revelation, the message is it's going to get more challenging. So hold on. Keep doing the things you did at first. Keep on with love. Keep on with faith. Keep on with service. Keep on with perseverance. And you will overcome. You will be victorious. And I will bless you. I will honor you. I will give you status beyond your imagination. But for now, keep doing what you know to be right. I'm going to pause there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you know us in your astonishing, wonderful love. You know each one of us. You know our thoughts. You know our beliefs. You know our desires. But you also know what we do. Father, thank you for that, because we cannot hide from you, but we are open before you. And Father, more than anything, we want to do your will. We want to honor you. We want to be filled with the light and the life of Christ, and to radiate out the goodness of God wherever we are. We want to live with integrity, where our beliefs are seen by what we do. So, Father, we pray you would pour your Spirit upon us. You would help us. But, Father, we also pray that you would convict us. You would just gently convict us where we say one thing, but actually we do another. Father, we pray you would help us where we realize that's true of us. You would help us to make steps to change. For Father, we don't just want to survive. We want to overcome. We want to be victorious. We want to flourish. May your good and loving, your kind and merciful blessing rest upon us. Amen.